brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely state of Nebraska in the United States of America, and I greet you towards the close of 2013. And as we consider all that God has done and the goodness of God over this last year, be grateful. Be grateful for all that God has done. I remember there was a friend of mine one time that was talking to me about attitudes, and he was saying, that life is not as much what happens to you, but how you respond to it. And it's true. You can see things through different lenses, the exact same experiences. The Gospels, the four different Gospels that are there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them is a viewpoint of the same experiences. Each of them is those guys going through a set of experiences with Jesus as he walked on the earth, and how they saw that that time, how they saw him, what they saw that was important even to write down. And just how one saw him here's Jesus the Messiah, and then another one saw him as because he had a physician's background. Luke, he recorded a lot more of the miracles, and the great healer and the great physician. And then another would see him as one that came to serve. And so just in the way that they would see an experience, and they all were around the same Jesus. So there's differences in the way that you and I will go through life and see different events and experiences. At the same time, too, there's different lenses that we can also take the experiences of life that come and come upon us. And some people will see life very negatively. No matter what happens, everything is negative to them. Other people will see life and they will take the things that come up in life as challenges, and they will approach them as a challenge, and they will look to see what God is doing in the midst of those things. And, depending on the lens in which you use also depends the attitude that you come back it with and how you approach things. And see, what's amazing for us as children of God is that we ultimately have the Word of God, which is the truth in the earth. We have the Word of God that helps to govern our the true lens in which we should see life and reality. So, for example, when the world would tell you you're one thing, we know from scriptures that as a follower of Christ, as a child bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, you are part of a royal priesthood. You're part of a priesthood of all believers. Now, if you accept that reality, then you begin to move in it, then you see the benefit of being part of that. That's why, too, when God gives, for example, me the opportunity to minister to you guys like this, I'm doing that as part of the priesthood of all believers. I'm doing that as not just a child of the living God, but as one that also realizes my identity in Christ and am moving in that. And as I move in that, many of you have written in and have validated the fact of who it is that God's called me to be in this mix as well. Now, not that I look for human validation, but the fact that it's there, hey, all right, cool. That's nice to know too. So, with the things that we experience, with the things that we face in this life, you've got to make a decision by which you will view and see and understand that which is there. Now, if you approach life and you say, hey, look, whatever comes my way, I know that by the grace of the living God, God's power that works on my behalf, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in the Word, which is the Scriptures. If you approach life in that position, that perspective, you will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means that you know that whatever the challenge may be, that God will give you the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the support, the help, whatever is necessary for you to be an overcomer, to do that, to accomplish that, and to do something incredible by His direction and His plan and His purpose. And for myself, in my own life, you know, I've already seen that. In my own life, I've already come to that knowledge and that understanding in my own experience, because God has several times put me in the deep end and allowed me to go through a set of experiences that and put me in certain assignments that, you know, in myself as a natural human being, I would feel, you know, underqualified, under... just like if I looked at it through my own human eyes. But as God has worked through that, not only being able to do it, but doing something incredible beyond expectation, is a result. The result of that is you now see, okay, it's not about the thing, it's about the God that we serve. It's not about the challenge that you would face. It is about the Spirit of God that lives in you, that gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to overcome, to be able to do things. So, you know, then when you start realizing that, you start being able to look at a bigger picture. You start being able to allow for the Spirit of God to stir a much bigger vision in you. You know, most people that have a very finite vision of themselves, and the reason they would is because, they live a limited life. And the reason that they would have a finite vision of themselves is because if you are living apart from Christ, well, yeah, then now it should be finite, because you're cut off. You're cut off from that which is eternal. You're cut off from that which is the source of life. So if you are cut off from Him, if you are, like Jesus said in John 15, a branch that's broken off from the vine, that you're withering up and you're dying, well, okay, so you're going to be just trying to put together that last little bit of your existence here in this world before, you know, you check out. Whereas if you are a child of God, you realize that you go from glory to glory, strength to strength. You know what? You know you cannot kill a true follower of Christ. If they stop breathing in this life, you bless them. So a true follower of Christ, when his life or her life stops in this world, they go on into an eternal blessing. So for them, it's not a big deal for them to check out of this life. It is not a big deal for things in this world to, you know, whatever twist and turn the things in this world takes, it's not a big deal to them. Because for them, their hearts, they've set their hearts on things above. They've stored up their treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Does that mean that all of them are now, that they're without any type of worldly success? Not at all. The children of God have some incredible worldly success too. But that success that they have is not, the success in the world is not the goal. The goal is to follow Christ. The goal is to keep your heart aligned, to keep your heart right before Him, and to keep your spiritual face towards the living God at all times. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's the focus, is to, you know, go on into the abundant life and not to live a limited and a confined existence. To not have your existence dictated by what the world would say it should be. See, the world will oftentimes try to dictate to you what your existence should be. And to the extent to which you allow the world to dictate it, it will control you. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, it's very easy for you to say, you know, no. If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can say, you know what, I'm going to pass. That is the case in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego dealing with King Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, in our lives in the earth, You know, I don't think many people have ever been put in a situation like that. You know, where they've been put in a situation, well, at least not in the West, I should say, not yet. You know, in time to come, you may once again experience things like this, but not yet. You know, where you've been put in a situation where you're under a tyrannical ruler, and in Nebuchadnezzar's situation, he had the ability to call for their death out on whim. No due process, no law, just whatever he felt like. And in that situation, they knew that when it came to the issues of their spirit and their soul, which is real, which is their eternity, when it came to that, as they replied to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "We do not need to be careful in answering you in regarding this matter. As for this image that you've set up, we will not bow." They knew where the line was drawn. Most of the other times they would be careful in answering the king. Most other times they would be mindful and they would choose their words. But in this situation, when you come into an area that as you, as a worldly leader, have no business trying to come into that, because this is not about you. This is not about, when it comes to your soul, you know, you are responsible for making sure that your soul is in the position that you want it to be, that you're aligned in the place that you want to be aligned. Now, here's the thing. God will back you up. If you choose to walk with Him, He's going to be there walking with you. If you choose to reject Him, hey, well, you get the consequence of that. So as those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they rejected the satanic instruction of the king, because for them, they knew that they could oblige the king to the extent that it did not go against that which God had put in His word. If something flies in the face of God's clear instructions, you know the higher authority. You know that which God has said trumps that which the world says. And to the extent that those in the world would seek to line themselves up with God, okay, we can talk, we can have a discussion. But at the point that they would seek to make inroads into your soul, at the point that they would seek to go against the living God, well, you know what? We're not on the same page. We can't walk together. How can two walk together? At least they be agreed. That's why we've got two different kingdoms. That's why there's the kingdom of light and truth and the living God, and that's why there's the kingdom of darkness and hell and Satan and functioning in the earth. So, you know, to that extent, we know whom we serve. The thing is, they also realize that if they go their own way, if they go the way of the world, they will do it unto their own destruction. If they follow the living God, they actually have a chance for life. That's why they have to keep us around. Because without us, they perish, and they perish very quickly. So, you know, for us, we do not have to be apologetic about it. We do not have to make excuses for it. You know, rather, what we do is we live in the truth. And we make the truth known. And as we make the truth known, you know, people are able to be set free. They're able to be set free from their bondage. They're able to see that there is another way. And we have to be true to that. So we have to be true to the fact that there is another way. Because you see, when people look at our lives, they look at our lives and they read us. You know, the scriptures talk about us being living epistles. You know, they read your life. And, you know, when they read your life, they read it on a few different levels. But the most powerful level that they can read it on is the spiritual level, where they sense that there's something different. There's something different about you. There's something different about the way that you live. There's something different about your priorities. There's something different about that which God has put in your heart, that which the way that you would conduct yourself in this life. You know, scriptures talk about how, you know, they think it's strange that you don't go and jump into all the flood of just the craziness that they do, but they don't realize that their lives will, you know, ultimately their lives are going to be judged by God. And they think it's weird that you don't do what they do. They think it's weird that you don't have the priorities that they do. But in the end, you know, you have allowed the Spirit of God to lead you. And because the Spirit of God is leading you, you're going to live life differently. You're going to walk differently. You're going to have different priorities. And the fact that you are going to be in the minority, you need to come to terms with that. You need to accept that. You need to not try to make this palatable for other people. Because, look, honestly, people will never understand it. They won't understand you. The people of the world will never understand you because you're different. You've been made differently. You think differently. You process differently. Your heart, your mind, your intentions, your desires. I mean, for the follower of Christ, you know, if you were offered everything in the world, but it would cost your eternal soul and it would cost your relationship and your connection with Jesus, you would never take it. You would never take it. Because for you, what you want in the core of your being is you want Him. You want Jesus. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, you want Him. You want the relationship with Him. You want to walk with Him. You want to know Him. That's the core of who you are. That's what you desire. That is the depth of even your life, your breath, everything about you. That's what you want. Whereas, you know, God has stirred that in us. Whereas with the worlders, you know, hey, what they want is the world, and they want a ticket to the world. And you know what? It's kind of even funny because even with that, you know, what the children of God are offered is always much more than what they're offered, because we still have value and worth. And most of the time, the worlders are bought off very cheap. And, you know, because, I mean, what is the value of an eternal soul? What is the value of a soul which the cost of its redemption was the blood of the Son of God? So that is the value of your soul, because that's the price that it took to pay for your redemption and your restoration. So when you realize that that is your worth, then for a child of God, you also realize a bit more of how you should conduct yourself, how you should conduct your life. You know, okay, when the difference for a person between when they're given something and when they have to earn something, or when they have to work for something. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen that in life? You know, think about it. Think about, you know, when you were a kid and you had to actually work for something for the first time in your life. And the first thing that you may have bought after having worked for something, and how you valued it, how you saw that. Because the energy and the effort that you had to put into, you probably put some worth and some value on that. Where even at that time it might, you know, because why? Because there was an investment made there. You know, the difference between, you know, giving somebody something versus them having some skin in the game, versus them having to work for it, versus them having to really go and invest themselves to obtain something, you know, is also shows the level of their appreciation, and shows the level that they themselves in their own hearts, the value they put on something. So when you realize the value of your soul, when you realize the depth of, and of just even in your own life, the true depth of the what God has done for you and your redemption and your salvation, there's an appreciation for it, and there's also an appreciation for who you are now in Him, which is a redeemed child of the living God, which is somebody that's been given a glorious inheritance in Christ Jesus, somebody that has been called to go from glory to glory and from strength to strength in Him. See, when you know who you are, you start living very differently. When you know the value of your soul, you start putting, you start relating to life differently. See, a lot of people don't know the value of what they have. They don't know the worth of what they have. They don't know the value of what God has put in them. You know, the Spirit of the living God, what He has put inside of you is of incredible, incredible value. What is inside of you, the value of your soul, is something that, you know, the enemy is always playing a game with that. You know, the enemy is always trying to get you to see yourself differently. The enemy is always trying to get you to see your worth and your value less than what you are. You know why? Because if he can get you to see you for less than who you are, you'll sell yourself short. If you see yourself not through the eyes of God, but through the eyes of the devil, and the filter that he tries to put on you, then you will diminish your value, you'll diminish your worth, and you'll treat yourself the way that he wants to treat you, which is like garbage. The devil would love for you to see yourself as worthless, and to treat yourself badly and poorly, and for you to be stuck in a woe is me situation when God has called you to be an heir, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Do you know that you've been called to an incredible existence? You've been called to rise up in truth. You've been called to be an ambassador of the living God in the earth, that you are part of a royal priesthood, that you are part of a priesthood of all believers. Do you know that God has destined you for much, much more? And you can live in that? Or do you want to just accept the lie of the devil? And just to get in line with everybody else that's just going down that way of being stolen from, killed, and destroyed. See, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he does that also by waging a propaganda war on your mind to get you to believe the lie. And he pushes that lie on every side, through every channel that he can. But for the child of the living God, Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice, and they will not follow another." You've been called to follow the voice of the living God that will steer you out and through all that is going on in the world, that will steer you out and through all of the traps of the devil, that will give you a realistic understanding and a realistic picture of who you are in Him. God has called you. You've been called to rise up in truth. You've been called to rise up in Him. You've been called and destined. But you need to fulfill that destiny. And part of the way that you fulfill that destiny is to surrender your heart and to take up that direction, that calling, that challenge, that intention that God has for you. See, when you start seeing yourself through the eyes of Christ, when you start seeing yourself through the way that God sees you, not the way that the world sees you, not even the way that you may have even seen yourself, but when you start seeing yourself through the way that God sees you, that's when incredible things happen. Remember Gideon. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, what did he say? He said, he called him a mighty man of God. He called him a mighty warrior. He called him, I mean, he had a way that he saw him. And when Gideon saw himself, he's like, "Look, I'm low on the totem pole. My tribe is the smallest, and I'm the weakest in the family on this whole thing." But God saw him a different way. And when he saw himself through God's eyes, when he accepted, and it took him a little bit, you know, he wanted to believe. He really did. But God had to help him overcome his unbelief. But when he did, he had to put out a fleece. That's where that whole thing came from. You know, whatever it was, but God knew, all right, if I got to do something to help this guy understand who he is in me, I'm going to do that. But once Gideon understood it, he moved in that. Once you understand who you are in Christ, you need to move in that. And the process of moving in that is the process of you coming into the place that God has destined for you to be. Not where the world wants you to be, but where God has destined you to be. You know, I know that some of you guys that are listening, that you will be some of the people that change the world. You're going to be some of the people that change the world, that change the game. But it's going to happen when you accept who it is that God's made you to be. Not who it is that the world tells you that you are, but who it is that God says that you are. When you accept who God has destined you to be, who God has called you to be, that's when things change. As long as you believe the lie of the devil, you're going to stay in that lie. You're going to stay trapped in that lie. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know, there is definitely an element of being able to see yourself as you really are. And if you think little of yourself, you know, if you think little of yourself, then that's going to be the reality that you experience. Scripture says to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you should think highly of yourself, just not more highly than you ought to. You know, you should have a healthy perspective of who you are in Him. So the challenge that we have is that there's a war on for your mind. The enemy puts a war on for your mind all the time. And that's not going to stop. But when you let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, when you let your mind be renewed by the Spirit of God, when you let the Word of God wash your mind and cleanse your mind and replenish your mind and allow for your thoughts to be lined up with His thoughts and your mind and your heart to be lined up with Him. When you move into that, there's a powerful change that takes place within you. And that is transitioning from who it is that the world would have you to be and the false programming of the world to who it is that you really are in Christ Jesus. And that is a process, but when you understand it, when Gideon understood it, he moved into that. And when he moved into that, God used him to change the destiny of that nation at that time. And when you understand that, God is going to use you to change the destiny of the nation that you live in right now. God is going to do that in and through you when you understand who you are in Him. So press in, my brothers and sisters, and God bless you. Hey, we'll catch up with you sometime soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for the word Faithmix, one word. You'll find us on there. And we love you guys, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.